really quick before we get started, our Washington, D.C. show has been canceled. Maybe it'll be rescheduled. We're not sure at the moment. Just keep up to date with our Twitter. Also, you can call the box office to deal with ticket stuff because we're not sure, but we just want to let you know that, like, we'll let you know details as we have them. We're sorry about that, but obviously it makes sense.
You or Jayla?
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Chester Hanks on his Instagram.
What's up, everyone? Yeah, it's true. My parents got coronavirus. Crazy. They're both down in Australia right now because my dad was shooting a movie down there. But I just got off the phone with them. They both are fine. They're not even that sick. They're not worried about it. They're not tripping, but they're going through the necessary health precautions, obviously. But I don't think it's anything to be too worried about. I appreciate everyone's concern and the well wishes, but I think it's all going to be all right. But I appreciate it. And just everybody stay safe out there. Much love.
How is Chet Hanks better at giving public health declarations than Donald Trump?
When I tell you my brain melted last night when this all went down, my brain melted. I don't know how to even process the personal journey, not to make this about me, but the personal journey that I've been on since this was announced has really just been one that has changed the course of my life. I have a few things to comment on about this video. One, yes, 100%. The most coherent thing we've gotten about the coronavirus from a public figure. Number two, why is he shirtless in it, the video?
He's always shirtless. I
like,
think
does
that's
he
his
own
default.
A shirt? His tattoos are beautiful, but does he own a okay, beautiful is an exaggeration, but does he own a shirt?
They're not terrible, I would say. You know, like, it's sort of like if you got him, flaunt him. He's showing him off. Also, he's constantly at the gym. He probably was at the gym. Then he got home. He just took like his shirtless selfie. Rita and Tom called him and they were like, hey, sweetie, we're fine. Like, I'm coughing a lot, but like the doctors are good because the Australian healthcare system is better than the United States one. We got tested. And so Chet was like, are you sure? And they were like, yes, Chester, we're fine. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to let everyone know. He didn't have time to put on a shirt.
Another thing is, do you know what he's down there filming? The Baz Luhrmann Elvis movie.
Yeah,
the I Elvis know. Movie. So the Elvis movie has coronavirus on it now.
Vanessa Hudgens' boyfriend or whatever.
His
Elvis.
Ex-boyfriend. Whatever his name is. Okay.
Because like, listen, people, we're giving you the Who angle to all of this.
I know. But what's funny is that people have been asking, you know, what, don't you dare. People have been asking, you know, who's the first celebrity to get coronavirus? And there was like the Daniel Radcliffe hoax thing. There was like, and I couldn't quite wrap my head around like who it would be, like what would be the situation. Also kind of didn't even want to think about it.
No, this of course is like, you don't want to think about it.
And what's weird is that LA is... The point is that this is going to, this because it is.
Excuse me.
Sorry. It's me. Because it is Tom Hanks. I hope this is not insensitive, but this is just like my mind is everywhere. This is going to drastically shift like the business of Hollywood moving forward.
Yeah.
Because not only is it the first real public figure, a real
American one. Yeah.
Who has this, right? The whole business of Hollywood that has now been like, should we shut down? Should we do this? Should we do that? Now they kind of all have to, right? Like it's almost so crazy that it's him for that reason, you know?
Yeah. No one wants this, especially not people over 60.
No,
but
no.
And I would assume that even Tom Hanks is aware of the fact that like there is a silver lining to his illness. And that is attention on this thing that a lot of people are calling a hoax. You know, not to use our language and like completely fuck with it, but it's like there are people who are hooing this who should not be hooing this. And Tom Hanks is like, no, it's a them. Case in point, me. You know what I mean? Like that sounds really dumb, but.
No, you're right. But it is so indicative of the whole situation. You're right. Where it's like people aren't sure. People aren't sure what, you know, what's going on, how serious to be, how serious to take it, how to. And then literally like the number one undisputed A-list most beloved champion of Hollywood is like has it, which is so crazy. And not even it's just scary, as like a Tom Hanks stan, it's just as like stepping back at a macro level and looking at the situation. It could have been anyone, right? But it's him. I just feel so crazy about it.
Oof. So they have it.
And Rita. So many of us. Rita has it. Oh my God.
So many people are probably working from home right now and they're worried about it. I think, you know, I bet Tom and Rita are going to do a good job of explaining exactly what the situation is like whenever you get a case of this thing.
That's so true. I feel like Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are, that's an interesting flip side, are going to be very transparent about their experiences and hopefully share them, because people are worried about them and obviously they're public figures. And also they will do a good job, Tom especially, because he's a very perceptive person and really interested in all of this stuff. Will explain what's going on in a really clear and concise way. And because they have a direct line to social media, they don't need to go through anyone.
Mm-hmm. And people have called and tweeted at us with like sort of jokey things like, who's the first who's going to get this? And I don't mean to talk about this sort of flippantly, but like, it's good that it was people like this for a number of reasons. And I think one of those reasons is, let's say it were someone like, and I'm just picking a name out of a hat here, Julianne Hough, who would absolutely document the hell out of her coronavirus experience. She's unreliable. I don't know that I would believe. I think she was prone to exaggeration. I think she is prone.
You're saying there's like an overshare and there's an undershare. And this is like kind of
there's
in
an overshare that doesn't. And there's a just right share. And I think that Tom and Rita are going to give us a just right, like Goldilocksian share. You know what I mean? Like
Goldilocksian.
People are very worried about this because you look at the internet and it's like, oh my God, Italy is literally falling apart. And then the adjacent tweet will be old men in a coffee shop that's mostly empty, like joking around with espresso, serving it to each other on broomsticks. You know, like it's very hard to judge the gravity of the situation, even in the areas that they're hardest hit. And we need someone who's going to give us some semblance of truth. And I think it's not a bad thing that someone may in fact be Tom Hanks, you know?
You know, at the end of Veep where like her like funeral gets interrupted by Tom Hanks dying.
Yes.
I saw that, I was like, this is so funny because this moment will be so surreal when it happens to me, when Tom Hanks dies, you know, he's older.
And
than
in Veep,
me, so
he's
he will
like
die
100
me,
years old. At
ideally.
That point,
the point is that like I was thinking about that moment for me as somebody, this is who I stan, right? Like, I guess I guess I've made that clear, you know, I guess that's my what I'm sticking to or something. But the point is that when I saw last night on NBC or CNN or whatever I was watching, Tom Hanks has coronavirus, I was like, this is that moment. This is surreal. Mm-hmm. Like, am I watching an episode of Veep? Because it felt so end of world. And it became so serious because of that. And I think, honestly, ultimately, that's good because people should take stuff seriously.
Yes. Yeah.
As somebody who takes nothing seriously, people should take stuff seriously.
And if you can work from home, work from home. And if you can't work from home, take care of yourself. And if you can work from home and you're dealing with people who can't work from home, be nice to them.
Aww.
Because not everyone gets to work from home like me and Lindsay, who get to do our work, air quotes work, in pajamas at their desks, you know? It's a luxury. And we're very thankful.
So we are not going to dwell on these things. No. We're going to talk about our own shit right now, okay?
Yes. We are going to take your questions, comments, concerns, because guess what? This is an episode of Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's start with some comments.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I just listened to the part of the podcast about the E-Trade baby, and I just wanted to remind you of this little thing that no one cares about, but I think like a few years ago when the E-Trade baby was a big deal, they had a Super Bowl ad in which the E-Trade baby had a girlfriend, I think, and the girl baby's name was Lindsay, and they called her a milkaholic in the commercial, and then Lindsay Lohan got all mad and said that they were actually talking about her because she has mononymous name recognition, like Tyra or whoever. So I just thought that was funny then, and I still think it's funny now. I thought you would appreciate it. All right. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
All right.
All right. All right. I think as a Lindsay who is very aware of other Lindsays, when this drama happened, I agreed with Lindsay Lohan. I thought like they are definitely using the name Lindsay to imply Lindsay Lohan. Because the name Lindsay isn't used that often as like a random name because it's not timeless at all. So I think like Lindsay Lohan being like they're referring to me actually had merit, weirdly. Mm-hmm. I don't think she could actually sue them and it wouldn't go anywhere, but she was right. I thought
this sort of happened. I think this was around the time that she was also suing Rockstar, the company that made or maybe not Rockstar, but one of the companies who made Grand Theft Auto 5, because there was a character in Grand Theft Auto 5 that like resembled her and also was sort of like represented as sort of like a druggy redhead mess of a character. Then the character's name was not Lindsay. I played that game several times and I think the case was thrown out, but Lindsay is extremely sensitive to stuff like this. Like,
well, for a while she was more sensitive.
For a while,
because I think she was also going through court stuff and was like, "This affects my court because it puts influence on whoever, whatever."
Yes, and especially whenever you're trying to get better, like this shit doesn't help whenever people are making fun of you.
But for a while, it was just that if you thought of like a out of control drunk celebrity, it was Lindsay Lohan. That just that was just kind of like who it represented. Who does it represent now? Like, I don't even know who.
Out of control, drunk, I mean, like celebrity.
For a while, that was like a thing. But I guess we don't.
I think we're a little nicer now, or at least I'd like to believe we're a little nicer now. I don't know that
that's
we're
true. Doing I thought of Ben Affleck, but anymore. He's not like out of control. But if we were talking about a boozy,
we turned a corner really quickly recently. I don't know that it's really happening much. Anyway, forgot about that. E-Trey Baby was the source of a lot of scandal back in the day. Those were the days. Next call.
I think there's still mean stereotypes.
I feel like, are we fucking missing something? Like, who is out of control?
But I think like who Bella Thorne even is an example of somebody that people bring up as like an example of like a crazy celebrity. I'm more thinking like a crazy party celebrity, you know, like she's always at parties. She, you know, like that.
But even Bella Thorne has taken control of the narrative and been like, don't judge me, blah, blah. Like,
sure, because everyone can take, it's much easier now to take control of the narrative than it was when Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears were like getting in a car and drunk driving. Totally. Because they didn't have a place to be like, actually, this drunk driving was like a personal choice. And I'm taking control of the narrative and like it was trauma. You know what I mean?
Is it really just like Vanderpump Rules people? Like, are those our people?
Like the reality show?
Because that's their job, sort of. Their job is to be messy.
It was Jennifer Lawrence for a while in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But not in such a shamey way, but more in like a fun drunk celeb. Adele fell into that for a while. Not, you know, there. It's we do that. We still do that, I think.
Yeah, we do.
But
it was shamey to Lindsay though, and Jennifer Lawrence Adele was like, "Yes, bitch, like have some more wine." Lindsay Lohan, it was like, "What a fucking nightmare."
But Lindsay was literally getting DUIs, and J Law was not. So there's like a thin line between, you know, whatever. Yeah.
There's a thin line between J-Law and Lilo.
But now I'm thinking, like, you have your city girls. One's going to jail for fraud. You have, like, you know, who are the twin sisters where one went to jail and just got out. I mean, there are definitely, like, people out here who are getting, like, DUIs and doing stuff at parties and being reckless and whatever. Like, it's just...
The recklessness sort of elicits more pity now than it used to. Like, we would default to sort of, like, laughter. But now it's like, oh, poor thing.
We're more sensitive to justify recklessness with some sort of underlying issue, and we're more understanding as in to make a narrative of that for them in a way, or to let them tell their story because people are interested in those stories.
Yeah. Next call.
Hi, just calling in with a correction for Bobby saying that Mina Suvari was the star of American Beauty. Sorry, that was an ensemble cast, and the star was Thora Birch. So I'm not here for the Thora Birch erasure of that. And while we're on it, I feel like you really should have brought up Christina Hendricks's hand once again. Crunch, crunch.
Bobby, what do you have to say to that?
I don't really know what the argument is. That Mina Suvari wasn't the star, that it was an ensemble cast.
He's saying American Beauty was an ensemble.
Okay.
Yes?
I mean...
Okay. Okay, next call.
Okay. I think, if anything... American Beauty is a tough movie to watch now for many, many reasons, chiefly because Kevin Spacey is the star of that movie. Like, Kevin Spacey is the bookend of that movie. He is the narrator of that movie. It's hard to watch that movie because of him. But, like, even before the Kevin Spacey stuff was widely known, to me, the real star of that movie was Annette Bening. Like, Annette Bening had, like, the role in that movie. She was the, like, scene chewer in that movie.
Right.
She was the fun one. Right. But as for the kids, and even as for the kids...
I love that you were like, okay, and now you're digging in. Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, now the three... But as for the three kids, I admit, sure, you're right. Those three kids are a unit. But I think that
there is a hierarchy
there.
What about the plastic bag floating in the wind?
Plastic bag is number one. Annette Bening, number two. Then Kevin Spacey sort of redacted right in the middle, just blacked out.
And Thora then Birch,
the three kids as the kid.
You know, Mina Solari.
Did I ever tell this story when I was in college? I had one of my screenwriting professors, like my second screenwriting professor. He was like kind of a dick, but I liked him. And he would like give us screenplays to read and we'd have to like write coverage on them. And occasionally he would like fuck with us. And one time he sent us a PDF of the American Beauty script. And he was like, everyone read this and write coverage of it for next class. Because you have to like explain the whole sort of plot point in like a couple hundred words. Sometimes he would send famous movies and he would see if people actually read the script or if they just recounted the plot of the movie, because original scripts usually were a little different. He would like catch you on not reading the script because you used the movie ending instead. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, I know which of you didn't actually read it and which of you just watched American Beauty, because the real ending is different. And in the real ending, Thora Birch and Wes Bentley go to prison.
Really?
Like, Chris Cooper is the one who kills him.
Yeah.
But Thora Birch and Wes Bentley get convicted.
That's so unnecessary. That's like a good edit, actually.
Yeah. And they were like, no, let's not.
That's like a good edit, to be honest.
It's a good edit. Let's just assume that Amy Pascal did that edit.
Oh, yeah, of course she did.
It's her. It was her. Every good edit was Amy Pascal's.
Like, she's like, kill the prison. Then she hangs up the phone.
God, my dream is to just like send literally any piece of writing to Amy, Pascal and have it returned in red marks. Just like dumbass stripes through everything. Like,
well,
whatever she had for lunch, like dripping on the pages. Like, stop, no. Stop. Oh my God, I'd frame it. Next call.
Maybe Sushi the Cat survived because the coyotes were still full from Julianne Hough's dog.
Moving on. Don't say anything.
This is nope. Like the tweet.
Nope.
Her mind. Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Boston Legal is a spinoff of Ally McBeal. There's literally characters or actors. I believe James Spader played the same character on Ally McBeal and then on Boston Legal. And I'm saying this was a Boston Legal stab, which I'm like embarrassed to admit. Okay, crunch, crunch.
Didn't know David E. Kelly listened to the show. Thanks for listening, David. Hope you get your wife to listen as well.
No, that was
That's
Michelle
really cool.
Pfeiffer actually that was calling.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time, medium time. I'm listening to the show today, and I just have to tell you what baby Ariel is up to. She is like an Instagram thottie now, as they all were, but more importantly, she is now an actress on Disney Channel. She recently was in the second zombie musical movie, where she played a singing and dancing werewolf. So if you're wondering where she is, she's still very poppin' with the kids. And I guess me too. All right. Love you guys. Women don't belong in balloons. Crunch, crunch.
Okay. Literally already forgot who she was. I was like,
I know,
what?
But I just
we talked about Baby Ariel.
Like,
I'm like,
I offhand was like, what is she up to? But then someone over here is like, well, here are her credits. But it sounds great. She sounds great. Honestly, it really sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds so great.
Yeah.
Okay. And then four calls in a row. Let's do these.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Okay. Two other basic white people that speak another language that I was surprised by, maybe because I didn't know, I'm dumb, but Mila Kunis defending JT in Russian after they made that movie, just like at a Russian like promo, she just jumps in and she's like, don't ask him whether he's gonna doing music or why he's acting, like, let him live his life or whatever, in Russian, iconic. He's, like, following along with a, like, just vacant smile on his face with, like, a little headphone in that's translating. Also, Natalie Portman speaking Hebrew. Fun. Okay, crunch, crunch.
Pretty sure Natalie Portman was born in Israel, so that makes sense, too. And then Mila Kunis, I believe, was born in Russia, so that also makes... So these are a little bit less,
she's
like,
born
random.
In Ukraine.
Oh, okay. So this makes a little bit more sense than people just randomly speaking the language, but that the clip of her doing this is funny, so I'm going to play it.
Yeah, let's play it here.
The rough translation is, why movies? Why not? What kind of question is that? Why are you here?
And then a few more calls about languages. Here we go.
Hi, Who Weekly. To piggyback on your conversation about American celebrities that know random languages, John Cena speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese. And I think he's trying to learn another dialect, but I'm not sure. Thanks. Crunch, crunch.
所以现在我学习很多时间，我学习中国很多是，可能我学习四个念。所以现在如果我去中国，我可以说中文，中国人说，你可以说。
Basically, what I said is, I went to China a long time ago. I was like, man, I want to learn Chinese. So I studied really hard for 4 years. And now when I go to China, I speak Chinese. And Chinese people are like, you speak Chinese? And I say, yes. And then we talk. And it's pretty fun.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. It's Amy from Long Beach. I just wanted to add, I had to stop the podcast and add to the list of celebrities that you didn't expect to speak a second language, because the original is Felicia Rashad, who speaks fluent Spanish, and it's super impressive. Okay, thanks. Bye.
When she would just lose it, she would just start speaking in Spanish.
¿Cuántos? 25. Ay, no me digas.
Felicia walked in the door, and I just knew how wonderful she was going to be. So finally I said, do you speak Spanish?
Misma casa con este hombre y sus cartas románticas a la otra mujer, a señorita, no big deal.
Do you speak Spanish?
Sí.
I always thought that was a really wonderful character element that unfortunately didn't stay, and I don't know why.
What was really funny was when I was Googling clips of Ben Affleck speaking Spanish and, like, watching all of them. There's a clip that was Matt Damon speaks Spanish. And so I'm like, oh, he does? And I click on it, and it's a whole clip of him speaking English. And at the end, he says, gracias. It was literally – I've got to send it to you. It was crazy.
Te escuchamos hablar español. ¿Lo entiendes? ¿Lo hablas?
Yeah. I mean, I can't, particularly when, you know, if I have the lines written out beforehand, it's a lot easier.
¿Te enseñó algunas palabritas Diego Luna?
Yeah, he helped me. In fact, there's a particular line when I say, me estoy cagando de miedo. That was from Diego, because he was sitting next to me, and I was like, okay, how would you say this in Spanish? And he goes, okay, say it like that.
Dios mío. Gracias, Matt Damon. Right. No te pierdas a Matt Damon en Elysium.
Gracias.
Gracias. Also, update on Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas. They're like officially a couple. There are photos of them like canoodling on the beach. Did you see?
Yeah, I got that email. I was like, okay. Wait. The subject line of that email is like very funny. Let me read it.
Yeah.
Lindsay, you can relate to this, I'm sure.
Oh,
sometimes
sure.
we get like press emails that go to our Who Weekly email address, which totally makes sense. And then sometimes I get some that are sort of like residual Jezebel things that are like extremely feminist and like I know not tied to Who Weekly, that's why I say that. But yeah. Then other times I get Who Weekly related things that are definitely because of Who Weekly but go to my personal email, and this
right.
is one of them. And it's just this random person, I don't know how they found my email, but it's Ana de Armas snuggled up beachside with Ben Affleck in, I can't even say the name of this designer, but it's like the designer. And there they are, snuggling, arm in arm.
There's a great photo of her taking a selfie and him taking a like manual photo on film of her taking a selfie. Yeah.
I mean, like, there's nothing more heteronormative than these
she's
photos
wearing,
because
she's
wearing
the
fashion.
Most beautiful fashion.
She's
like
wearing
a,
fashion.
Like a knit dress with like a bikini under it. And
he's
wearing
in
a shirt.
An 8-bit New England Patriots shirt. Literally an 8-bit nerdy ass Patriots shirt that doesn't fit. Shorts that do not fit.
And he's hunched over all like Ben Afflecky, and she looks fantastic. Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's fucking perfect.
What is that? Kult Gaia? Kult Gaia?
What's that?
That's the brand. Kult Gaia,
oh,
or is
okay.
it just Kult Gaia? It's a $358 dress. It's okay. Amber. It's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful dress. Wow, the press release worked as you're literally reading it on air.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Elisa Abad. It's beautiful.
Okay.
I'd love to see if you're able to cover. Let me know. I'm covering it right now. I love it. It's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Questions.
Question?
Questions.
Oh, questions. I thought you were like, question.
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 Okay, it's time for the questions.
Question.
Wow, no better way to start this than with Victoria Justice. Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Everyone loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby, first-time caller, long-time listener. Okay, so you guys probably talked about this before, but, like, I'm kind of spiraling, and I called you because I just need to let this out. You don't want to understand this. So Victoria Justice, like, I can't imagine how she must feel because, like, all the ducks were in a row for her. You know, she had her TV show, Victorious. Like, she was a singer. And then, like, the little side piece, Ariana Grande, is just, like, cropping herself over there for years. And, like, now Ariana Grande is, like, the biggest pop star in the world. It's, like, it's not even like she, like, got, like, you know, like, somewhat famous, like, and, like, you know, like, made it to them territory. Like, she made it to them territory. And, like, as Victoria Justice, you know what? Good for her for waking up every day and moving on. Because, like, you know, I would be happy with my friends. But, like, if we can all remember. I think we all sing. Anyways, yeah, fighting still for Victoria Justice. I don't really know what she's up to. Yeah, so she's one of the strongest twos I've ever met, to be honest. Thanks. Women don't belong in balloons. Bye.
The caller kind of covered, like, the span of this woman's career, which is funny because you're right. She was, like, on the come up with a lot of people who are genuinely super famous right now. She kind of was alongside of them. So people weren't quite sure what she would do.
Yeah. And I think maybe I'm being too generous, but it sort of feels like it was one of those things where like everyone was extremely talented. And it was like, we just couldn't have more than a couple of them, and only a few people could do it. And
she didn't win.
No, I think that it sort of seems very luck of the draw, you know? Like, I don't know.
I mean, she also, again, she has a similar look to Ariana Grande and a lot of these Disney girls. She was on the shows with all of them. She was on Zoe 101. She was on Victorious with Ariana Grande, as the caller says. She was in kind of all these movies, and she did music, and she was in the same realm as as them, you know. And I think probably the Ariana Grande feud, which is, you know, you can read about it everywhere, it has a lot to do with just them being pitted against each other. Nothing to do with, like,
it's not
actual
them. Right.
Right. And so at a point you just break and you're like, I can't take this anymore. I have, you know, it's, you say something kind of real about it and then it becomes, oh, they're in a feud. When, like, clearly there's no hard feelings. These two just aren't friends, and Victoria Justice isn't maybe doing what she wants to be doing at this point. I mean, I think she's been in a few movies. She was in a movie that I saw that was actually pretty good, the No Kiss List. Do you remember that movie?
No, Naomi and Ellie's
No Kiss List. Yeah. So that was like
Kiss List.
That's a pretty okay movie. No, I think they're making a sequel. Or at least I saw that they were making a sequel. She was in the Rocky Horror Live musical that no one watched on Fox.
Yeah, I think moral of the story is, like, she just, it seems like a luck of the draw thing. Like, and also, even if you look at Ariana Grande's career, there was a time when, like, Ariana Grande was not happening, where it was very much, she was skirting the line on not going to happen, you know? And then it sort of, things just clicked into place, and they very easily couldn't have. And those things that clicked into place for Ariana Grande never clicked into place for Victoria Justice. And that, I don't know, like, there's no reason to be rude about Victoria Justice the way these YouTube headlines are. Why Victoria Justice's career flopped.
So if you search Victoria Justice's name, the first two video searches you get on Google, like, not in YouTube, but on Google, are why Hollywood stopped casting Victoria Justice, which is definitely a rubric that this website uses for a lot of different people or whatever, and why Victoria Justice's career flopped, which is like, clearly the perception of her is not incredible, and she kind of gets lumped into a group of women who, like, didn't make it past the child star realm. I would say, like, Ashley Tisdale is one of those kind of, like, young women who starred as in Disney projects that, you know.
But even Vanessa Hudgens, it took a minute for Vanessa Hudgens to sort of find her niche.
And to be honest, she's still working towards that. She's still kind of trying to break out of that realm.
Like, there's no reason to say Victoria Justice is fully flopped the way that these YouTube videos are saying, but, like, I don't know. I think being a Disney star is a pain in the ass and a curse. It is a curse more than it is a gift.
It's like an easy way in and a hard way out, you know. Like, there's
for
no
every Ariana exit. There's like a million Victoria Justices, you know. Right, there's a million Corbin Blues, so it sucks.
Remember, like, Miranda Cosgrove? And it's all weird because people, because they associate them with their childhood, become so obsessed with these actors and, like, really do want to follow them, but don't necessarily want them to grow up. And that's, like, maybe a big issue for them in trying to get roles that are grown up. I mean, it is shocking that Vanessa Hudgens, like, made the leap to, like, romantic lead, even though she's in, you know, Hallmark movies, which is fine.
But that's only, a very win. A niche place for a romantic lead, right?
A desexualized romantic lead, like, for Hallmark and Lifetime and stuff. You're right. It's totally not even a thing as much.
And even when I was watching her on Second Act, like, which is a theatrical release, which was sort of a flop, but not really. Like, I think it ultimately did fine. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Second lead in a big movie.
Second lead in a big movie. I was like, good for her. But as I was watching her, I was like, I really like you. And I would love for you to be a rom-com lead. And I think there's something, like, there's something almost there about her, which makes me really want to root for her. But, like, she kind of just does give off made-for-TV vibes, and that's
maybe
okay.
Maybe in a different era, though, she would be more successful when in a rom-com world where rom-coms are more abundant and whatever. Yeah. But maybe as streaming slowly brings back the rom-com, as people have been claiming it is, but we'll see.
We'll see.
That's something that she becomes a part of, you know?
And she has. She has.
Yeah. Yeah, she totally is the
holidays.
Because,
she is the holidays.
Because Princess Switch was one of the biggest streaming rom-coms, you know.
As far as we can tell,
Who knows? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Speaking of people we've largely forgotten about.
This is so funny, though.
Hi, Ho Weekly. Long time. I'm randomly reading an article about Topher Grace's return to TV. And it calls him one of the most in-demand actors of this pilot season, which sounds crazy to me. And, like, if you just Google his name, there's a bunch of news articles that are like, yay, Topher Grace is coming back to TV. And, like, is there really that much excitement about it? Is Topher Grace That, like, he's a who, right? Like, I know that 70s show, and I guess he was, like, in Spider-Man. But I feel like he's such a who. I can't even tell him apart from what's the guy that was in Mamma Mia, the fiancé slash husband. Also, the best thing about his Wikipedia page is that he was in both Ocean's 11 and 12 as himself, but both times as an uncredited cameo. So anyway, Topher Grace, who are them? Do we love him? Do we hate him? Okay, yummy pop, bye.
I confuse him with the guy from Mamma Mia.
Which, it's like, guy?
There's 100 guys on Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia is 85% guys.
Mamma Mia is literally trying to figure out which guy. That is the log line of Mamma Mia.
Wait, literally, which Amanda Seyfried in Mamma Mia is like, which guy? And Mamma Mia, Streep is like, which guy?
Mamma Mia 2 is which guy? Less about which guy, but it's a lot of guys.
No,
and they're younger,
like,
guys.
Mamma Mia 2 is like, too many guys.
Here we go again. Which guy again?
Okay.
God, Mamma Mia 2, iconic.
Oh, God, seeing that in theaters was like one of the most exhilarating
moments of
my life.
Remember when I just started crying?
Yeah.
Whenever they were singing Dancing Queen on the boat? Yeah, I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, what is wrong with me?
That's definitely an old episode of Who Weekly where we talk about Mamma Mia 2, for sure.
So, also, I think that's the last time I ever went to Battery Park.
I love Battery
Regal Battery Park. I don't think I've been since. So the point is, why is everyone so excited about Topher Grace returning to TV?
I don't know.
I don't know. And I was trying to think of sort of similar situations. And every once in a while, maybe there are better examples of this. I was trying to rack my brain for examples of this. Every once in a while, there's like a TV star from a prior generation who returns to a current generation. And they're like, they're back. And I'm thinking about like James Vanderbeek. And I'm thinking about like Mayim Bialik being on Big Bang Theory. It's like, were people really clamoring for Blossom to return? No, but she did. And it was sort of a big deal. And even though Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 was sort of a plop, like that got a lot of press. I think it's literally just nostalgia and name recognition. Yeah, Topher Grace is sort of lame, but like he was ingrained in like a very particular aspect of culture 20 years ago.
I guess my question is just like, are people such diehard? Is there a remainder of such diehard That 70s Show fans that Topher Grace coming back to TV would be such a fucking big deal? Because no, that seems like one of those shows that, yes, is syndicated, but didn't quite make the, like, it's not really something
not
that
like
people
Friends
are going back to watch.
Yeah,
no one's like, I'm rewatching That 70s Show. It's iconic. It's a very episodic journey, like, in a very pure sense.
It's gif-able, though, and I think specifically the parents and Fez, I'm seeing, you will see them as reactions online sometimes.
And arguably, we did get a lot of quote-unquote stars from that show. Like, considering the success rate of the people on that show is weirdly high. Like, Mila became A-list, Ashton became A-list, they literally married each other, which is like, what more could you ask for? Even,
and
like, Wilmer Valderrama did well,
Wilmer is fine. You know, like, there are no, like, I guess there's the sister, but wasn't that
a... There's a dark Masterson cloud over the whole thing.
There's a dark Masterson cloud, and there's a dark sister cloud, but I think for the most part,
what's her face in the basement? The cooking basement show. Laura Prepon.
Oh, Laura Prepon became a thing, got a huge show, and like one of the early big Netflix hits. Yeah, one who played
and she was
the
like
one
a
who played
lead
the sister in That 70s Show
lead.
Died when she was in her early 40s. She was an addict, and that's a sad story.
I don't remember
but
that at
she
all.
wasn't one of the central kids.
No,
you know,
I'm
she was
about
always
the
sister.
I'm talking about the kids.
They're all fine. I don't know. It's weird.
Like,
it's
for a show with a high success rate of its stars going on to big things, it's weird that the show itself is not as iconic as you would think, because that is such an incredible high percentage of everyone going to do stuff. So you'd think they want them to reunite all the time and talk about it all the time. Yeah. Maybe they do. Maybe we're missing this. I don't know. I feel like I'm not. Topher Grace is so funny to me because he truly is the Matt Perry of his generation in that kind of like, he is like dry, drawl, like don't give a shit cool guy way. For a while, it was like he was the emblematic, we talked about this before, but the video gum
sort
that
of a normcore hunk
would always ask what he's up to. Their version of what's Rita Ora up to was what's Topher Grace up to, because it was kind of just funny to be like, Yeah. What's Topher Grace up to for a while? But he was very good in Black Klansman, I gotta say. Yeah.
He was good. I forgot he was in Black Klansman. He's always been like a cutie in a very normie way, which is which people respond to. But I think also another thing about this, and what the fuck do I know? But I think TV, especially network TV, is so formulaic. And so when you get these people in a room and they're like, who do we cast? If Topher Grace is probably high on that list because they're like, look, he's a proven person.
His so name much of it is just name. We so can talk about how it's been 15 years since he's been back. That's a press bump.
And he's capable. He's a normie. He's talented.
He's such a straight man in terms of like, you know, if you throw like goofy shit at him, he's a very good bouncing like it's almost we're doing promo Topher Grace, for Topher Grace.
But Topher Grace is precisely the type of like normie 40-something 30-something you want whenever you're playing to a TV audience, like a live studio audience. Pause for laughter. Like he will deliver your shitty dialogue well, you know. Right. I don't know.
It weird makes sense. That he is quote one of the most sought after actors this pilot season though, like give me the source on that one, because I just find Deadline. That hard to believe.
Grace, who will also executive produce Home Economics, like these titles, like that's exactly the title Home of a show economics. Topher Grace is perfect for
Home Economics.
He marked one of the biggest talent deals so far this season. It's gonna be an ABC show called Home Economics. Please, like, it's gonna be a huge hit. How could it not be?
I mean, do you see that the Fran Drescher show that's not very good that they were all freaking about? Talk about, oh, she's back. The nanny's back in a role on an NBC sitcom or whatever, written by Dan Levy. And the show is like, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it's a I guess me thinking a show is bad does not mean the show is not successful, because my track record is not amazing with that. But it's just interesting to me, the like kind of false excitement in this whole thing.
Really quickly, speaking of television, did you guess Sarah Palin? You didn't.
I wasn't even watching.
No. But she wasn't on your list, right?
So last night they brought in a whole new group of singers. So she wasn't on my list because she hadn't sung yet. But everyone basically guessed her, because then when she was revealed, everyone was like, oh, I knew it was Sarah Palin. I haven't done my guessing list yet because I'm currently not available to do that because I'm traveling. But I'm going to eventually do a guessing list, I guess. I have to kind of, right?
Yeah.
I got to say, Sarah Palin being revealed at the same time as Tom Hanks' coronavirus was one of the worst moments of my life. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put an ad right here, and then we're going to play this call. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong, so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Weekly. Whatever happened to Rosie Huntington-Whiteley? And should I care? Please advise.
Whatever happened to Rosie Huntington-Whiteley?
Has that ever been asked before?
I mean, I don't think by anyone on this sweet earth.
We talked about Rosie Huntington-Whiteley probably a few years ago because she's been dating Jason Statham for a long time. They have a kid together. They've been engaged forever. I think they've been engaged for like 5 years. It's been a very long engagement. But she was for a time the highest paid model in the world for a couple of years in a row. She was just like a very high paid model, largely because of Victoria's Secret. Like when you're an angel, you get a lot of money. and it leads to more money down the road. She was in Mad Max Fury Road. That was her second movie. She was in Transformers Dark of the Moon. Then she was in Mad Max Fury Road. And then she has not acted since.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of like, what has happened to Rosie Huntington-Whiteley? Because I remember she used to be on every red carpet. She was always like in slideshows of like who's who of everyone who was at this thing. It would always be like A-list person, A-list person, A-list person, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, A-list person, A-list. She was just everywhere. And she stopped being everywhere when she had a kid a few years ago. And I think that's sort of what the caller's referring to, because she went from being everywhere to nowhere.
Right.
But then I started Googling this and I was like, she's still kind of everywhere, but she's everywhere on her own terms. AKA she started a lifestyle site. Rosie Inc.
Well, you're like, does this woman actually want to be an actress at all?
No.
Or does she just want to be like wealthy and enjoy her life?
She's living the dream. She made a ton of money modeling for like 15 years. And now she has this lifestyle site, which honestly, it made me think of, remember when Victoria Beckham launched her YouTube channel and then she was like, not for me, no one's watching. And then she canceled it.
Yeah, that's happened to a lot of people, to be honest.
When high profile people do that, it tends to get a lot of attention and then it fizzles out. And Rosie, she's been doing this slow burn behind the scenes for years. And as far as I can tell, it's doing well. She's uploading videos constantly and they all have a lot of views. It looks like she's making money doing these like makeup tutorials. Like she does what's in my bags with random models. She picks like a very fun selection, like variety of models and sort of stylist makeup.
So she's
people.
Really doing
she's
her thing.
She's doing it. She's doing it. And she appears on a lot. Like she was just in Vogue in November, revealing her quote 15 minute morning makeup routine.
Yeah.
And guess what? She's still beautiful. And guess what? She's great on camera. She
wow,
was just on an episode
stunning.
Of. As I was watching this, I was like, oh, God, I'm becoming Laundry a Rosie Huntington-Whiteley stan. She was on.
I mean, I could not pick this woman out of a lineup. Let's just be real. I could not pick this woman out of a lineup if my life depended on it. But I do respect
just at the Oscars.
Her hustle. Well, of course she is. She's Jason Statham's fiance, right? They're engaged.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
But she was just on an episode of Ashley Graham's show, which I didn't know Ashley Graham had a show called Pretty Big Deal.
Yeah, she like interviews people long form podcast.
And guess what I realized? Not only do I stan Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, I stan Ashley Graham as an interviewer. She's quite good at it.
This hurts you to say, doesn't it? This hurts you. It's also
really
a podcast. That's the genius, is that these celebrities are out here.
They show up looking great.
Taking over every platform. They do a video. They do it as a podcast. They do it as a blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's smart, especially for Ashley Graham, who kind of got shoved into the like, be a representation of all plus size women corner and then made it work for her because she could have just been like kind of manipulated by the market of it all, but kind of like decided to own her shit.
And I don't know. I was watching her and Rosie was really like down. Like she was a down guest. Ashley was kind of fun. She was like, I screenshot everything. I love saving things on Instagram. And she's like, I like archive like looks that I love. And she's like, you're my most screenshotted model. I'm obsessed with you. Like, I'm so into your style. And Rosie's like laughing. And she's like, I've noticed that you wear the same thing over and over again. And that's so rare for people in our industry. And she's like, yeah. And she styles herself every morning because she thinks it's fun. I don't know. Like, it was actually insightful. And I was like, what's happening to me? I'm into this fucking episode of Ashley Graham's show. Pretty big deal.
Well, I think when Ashley Graham, a model, interviews another model, that's an interesting conversation. I don't necessarily want to watch Ashley Graham, a model, interview an actress or some.
No, that
doesn't necessarily appeal. But yes, like a model speaking to another model about their industry, if they get really detailed and it gets to be really like minutia, that's when stuff gets to be interesting. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that you thought it was a good interview at all.
I'm sure you've heard this and I'm sure you're flattered or maybe embarrassed by it, but you're my style icon.
No, I never heard that.
You haven't?
No,
are you serious? No, but like I screenshot and you are the most looks say in my saved IG folder.
Aww.
Seriously.
Thanks, Ash.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just got done seeing Emma and I have to know, who's Tony Flynn? Also, did you see that some Waller Bridge was nepotismed into the movie? Very interesting. Crunch, crunch.
This guy reminds me too much of Wyatt Russell, and Wyatt Russell, I think, is the galaxy brain version of Johnny Flynn. I just prefer Wyatt Russell, and yeah, I know that's nepotism, but like, if it's...
Okay,
he reminds me too much of Wyatt Russell.
I agree with you, but Johnny Flynn is kind of like a more dirtier, sexier Wyatt Russell, which I think Wyatt Russell is missing from his like look and vibe. He's more of like a light, chill hippie, and Johnny Flynn has like a little darkness to him, a little ugliness to him that's also very hot, that I think is, I mean, fucking obviously I love it. So I saw Emma and Bobby didn't, so I think my kind of Johnny Flynn horniness is like a little bit at a higher level.
How naked is he? Every interview with him is like, he gets naked in Emma, but like, how naked is he?
No, the best part of Emma, not very naked, the best part of Emma is that it starts off with this like scene of everyone getting dressed and getting, you know, getting like helped dressed by their people, kind of to show the wealth.
Oh, putting on their like wild.
Yeah, so he literally like, you know, drops trout to like put on pants. It's like the most not sexual butt, but you're like, oh, a butt. But you haven't even been like warmed up to him yet, which is really kind of an interesting choice. I honestly have been horny for Johnny Flynn for a while
like
now, because
Scrotal Recall.
I loved Scrotal Recall, and I joked, and you can, well, you probably can't search my tweets because they're all deleted, but, or most of them deleted, but there was a point where I was making jokes about how this is a show called, this really good show that I want to recommend you guys, but it's called Scrotal Recall. Like, I can't help it. Then they changed the name to Lovesick and gave it a second season. It's a really fucking good show. It's all on Netflix, I'm pretty sure. And he's just kind of like a British hunk that's in various stuff, because also he sings. He's like a singer. And
yeah, he was like a folk singer.
He was in that movie with Anne Hathaway that no one saw. Remember that? One song, one day, true song, song, something song?
Song one.
And I also once saw him in a Brooklyn cafe, and I texted Shawnee, because Shawnee was also a Lovesick fan, and was like, Johnny Flynn's in this cafe, and I stared at him.
And Shawnee was like, I don't know who you're talking about.
No, she knew. She knew. Anyways, I'm really happy that he was this role, because it is really the perfect role for him. He's would be great in period stuff. Like, I was just watching, which I highly recommend, the BBC Jane Austen adaptation of Sanditon, which was like controversial because it was really sexy. And you know who's in that?
Who?
Iconic Theo James of the Divergent movies.
Theo James. Who, like, is he good in it?
Yeah, so he's really good in that, but he's a total flop as like Divergent guy. But it just was the wrong role for him, or they were trying to make him a thing and he just wasn't a thing. But in as like a period piece guy, he's perfect. Like, it's a perfect fit. And I think the guy like Johnny Lee Miller, you know, who was famously Mr. Knightley in the old Emma. And like, there's specific British guys that are just so good at like adaptation period piece shit, you know, they shine. They shine as like a Mr. Darcy or Mr. Knightley or like whatever. I love this stuff. I can't get enough.
This, I mean, I will see it. Not in theaters right now, that's for sure. when it's a rental. But did you know why it's... I see you responded in the doc. Do you know why it's... Because the movie is stylized Emma, period. Like,
I know.
There's a period.
I'm mad that you told me. I'm honestly pissed.
Did
you?
This is not even a joke. This isn't even a joke. I'm going to read the quote. Speaking exclusively to Radiotimes.com, director Autumn de Wilde revealed that the answer is pretty self-explanatory. Quote, there's a period at the end of Emma because it's a period film, she said. Quote, it's true. In other words, yes, the whole marketing for this expensive new film is based on a pun.
Period. I know. This new Emma is great. I really like it. I think, as I said to Bobby, it is Emma, or I said to someone yesterday, our friend Lauren, it is Emma done in the style of The Favorite. I think we are, everything right now kind of looks like The Favorite in terms of period film. Like, that's what we're into right now. And
like,
so
idiosyncratic period films.
Yeah. Like, you'll see the humor is very similar. It'll be like somebody gets on the floor and screams, and then a footman comes in, like looks in the door and is like, uh-oh, and like walks out, you know, in the back of the frame. It's kind of there's a lot of like gags like that. And it's effective, but it is a certain very specific to right now style. But the thing about remakes is, why they're great is because they're always specific to the time that they were made. It's the same story. So like, the whole point of a remake is you're watching the era in which it was made version
of... revivals, yeah. Yeah. It's the same idea of a revival.
Exactly. It's like, I want to see what 1985's version of this story was. What kind of color palettes were there? What actors did people like? What types of music were they into? Not the actual period stuff, but the actual time it was made in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Lindsay, mm-hmm. I always know what you mean. And I think you'll know what I mean when I say we got to move on.
Let's do a few who or thems.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. He's Just Not That Into You is on Netflix. The cast of them, specifically Kevin Conley, Jennifer Connelly, Jennifer Goodwin, and I can't think of any other person. But are they who's or thems? I'm kind of leaning toward who's, but this is kind of a big romantic drama comedy thing. I don't know. Everyone else is them. Anyway, Deform Bella Thorne.
The lineup in this movie is honestly shocking to me still to this day, like looking back on it. The A-list and B-list talent is off the charts.
And the IMDb is wild because it's in, I think it's an order of appearance. So you get literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, like essentially glorified extras before you get to Jennifer Goodwin with a G. Like, that's the cast we're dealing with.
I mean, I sorted it by popularity. So I'm getting what IMDb thinks are the big guns at the top. So you have your Ben Affleck, your Scarlett Johansson, you have your Jennifer Connelly, you have your Jennifer Aniston, your Bradley Cooper. Then you have the kind of Jennifer Goodwin, Busy Phillips, Drew Barrymore, who's after Busy Phillips, which means this algorithm is fucked. Then you have Justin Long, Kevin Connolly. Then we get Natasha Leggero. Then you have Eric Stoltz, Luis Guzman. You got your Kris Kristofferson is in this. That's confusing. You know, you get your like your extras.
Jennifer Goodwin, who? Kevin Connolly, who? Scarlett Johansson, them.
You think Jennifer Goodwin's a who?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason why I believe Jennifer Goodwin is a who can be explained by Dr. Ian Malcolm in the film Jurassic Park.
Dinosaurs had their shot and nature selected them for extinction.
That's what you were looking at. You think she was selected for extinction?
Dinosaurs had their shot, Lindsay, and nature selected them for extinction.
Wait, that's how you feel about Jennifer Goodwin? She had her shot and nature selected her for extinction? The star of TV's Once Upon a Time that ran for 35 seasons?
Yes. Nature selected Jennifer Goodwin for extinction. She's one of those people who Hollywood kept trying to shove down our throats.
We said, no, thank you.
America was like, absolutely not.
She's fine, absolutely though, right? Not. How do you feel? She's fine.
She's fine. This is a response to like the aggressive nature with which she was presented to us. And it's like, no.
Okay, so
we live in a democracy and I vote someone else.
She did Once Upon a Time for 7 years. Seven.
Me, whenever Jennifer Goodwin gets cast in a romantic comedy, I'm writing in Jennifer Aniston. Like, absolutely not.
But putting Jennifer Goodwin and Jennifer Aniston in the same comedy is rude.
Yeah.
And also, oh my God. Putting Drew Barrymore and Jennifer Goodwin is rude. They're like the same bubbly personality.
Right. But Jennifer Goodwin now is like, acting who? I don't want to do this anymore.
She loves to act. What are you talking about?
She just Instagrams about like TGIM. Yeah, I don't see her doing that during Corona.
And her makeup ad. She does makeup. She does. No, she loves it. No, she loves it. Maybe this will bring her and Justin Long back together because they'll realize that they belong together. Oh, my fantasy. Okay.
Alan Cumming. Who are them? Hank Sinatra.
Hank Sinatra's the Instagram that we followed, full of good news. Uh-huh. Best of luck to you, Hank Sinatra. Okay. Jesus. Alan Cummings.
Them.
Them, yeah, right? I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Every time we do who them, I have like severe deja vu. So if we repeat people, I don't care anymore. I'm sorry.
Who cares?
Not my problem. It is your problem, but it's fine.
Sandy Frank. He's an eternal them to me because he's Sandy Frank.
Yeah. Although he's bad as Mr. Elton in the Emma remake with Gwyneth Paltrow. Can you tell I watched all the Emmas after I watched the Emma movie? Okay.
Don't you love Spice World? He's like the villain in Spice World.
Oh, he's
World.
So
That's
good
fun.
In Spice World. And he's great in Josie and the Pussycats.
And wasn't he on The Good Wife for like forever?
Yeah, he is. He's pretty themmy, to be honest. And
He's themmy. My friend was his personal assistant, and then she crashed his car.
Oh, I love that story. That's a story for Patreon.
Oh, okay. I'll tell the full story on the Patreon. That's a good story, because the end of that relationship is like one of the most iconic things I've ever heard in my whole life. But you're going to have to subscribe to the Patreon, $5 a month, patreon.com/weekly. Here's the next call.
We don't have time for it, so you'll have to subscribe to the Patreon.
No, yeah, we don't. We know. Sadie Hawkins. What the fuck?
Sadie Hawkins. Who are them?
I literally don't know who Sadie Hawkins is, so... Am I stupid?
Sadie Hawkins. Yeah, she's happy. She's from this girl, the woman who fucked the fish in the movie that won the Oscar, and then the Happy Go Lucky, right? That's her. The swimming movie where she fucked the monster.
The Shape of
monster.
Water.
Yeah, that's her, right? Yeah, Sadie Hawkins.
That's Sally Hawkins.
Oh, who's Sadie?
Sadie Hawkins. I've never heard of.
Like, and the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Sadie Hawkins dance, which I've never heard of, in which the women invite the men. Did this person mean
Wait,
Sadie
you've never
Hawkins?
Heard of the, wait, you've never heard of the Sadie Hawkins dance? It's like an old thing. Oh, okay. It's like a thing. It's on Gilmore Girls, I think. No, I thought this was...
Oh, I'm sorry. In Texas, they don't gender flip anything. So okay. I'm sorry. Okay. We didn't all live in Massachusetts where people are more willing
but,
to like
I know, we're so
fuck
liberal.
With social norms.
Okay. Sorry.
This is crazy. What is this?
Okay, we're not doing Sadie Hawkins. Sadie Hawkins them, I guess, although Bobby's never heard of it.
I've never heard of this woman.
I don't even know what this woman is like.
Sadie
what the
Hawkins
Day
is an American
after.
Folk event and pseudo holiday originated by Al Capp's classic hillbilly comic strip Lil Abner, 1934 to 1978. Are you kidding me?
Okay, but
no.
Is it not weird that I thought this was Sally Hawkins? That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Is Sally Hawkins a who or a them?
Sally Hawkins is a... Who?
Okay, can we move on then?
If the themmiest thing you did was fuck a fish, then you're a who.
Okay, well, Tom Hanks fucked a fish.
But that's not the themmiest thing he's ever done.
Okay, true, okay, true.
The themmiest thing he's ever done was play Sully.
True. Okay, moving on, please.
Hello. Is Richard Armitage a who or a them? I feel like he's a British them and maybe a nerd them because of The Hobbit. But I'm not sure. I'm watching The Stranger now, and I'm just wondering. All right, crunch, crunch. Bye.
Hello.
Richard Armitage, 1, 2, 3, who?
Them?
What?
No, who? You're right.
This guy looks like Gerard Butler mixed with Rupert Everett, mixed with Bradley Cooper,
mixed with any other person. His name is very themmy, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he sounds like, oh, I went to Eton. You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, okay.
Okay, Richard Armitage.
I'm gonna control F Eaton on his. Okay, so we didn't go to Eaton. Okay. I'm gonna control F. No.
Okay, I'm pushing you along now. Next call.
Okay, thank you, because I need someone to push
me
along.
Yeah, you're like, you're killing me.
Is Ed Begley Jr. a them? I feel like he is, but also, what's he doing right now? I don't know. Crunch, crunch.
Can I just say, if you don't know what Ed Begley Jr. is doing right now, how are you calling to act? Like, you must have seen something that reminded you of Ed Begley Jr.
Were you watching, like, She-Devil? Were you watching, like, one of the Christopher Guest movies? Like, where did this come from?
Where were you?
Were you thinking about electric cars? Wasn't he obsessed with, like, electric cars? Wasn't that his whole thing?
I don't know, but he's... Remember? I don't know, but it's a great name, and it's a great person to bring up out of the blue. It's an amazing voice.
I love his voice.
Yeah.
Love his voice.
Yeah.
Ed Begley Jr., 1, 2, 3. Who? I think he's character actor. Who? He's a character actor.
Yeah. Because his main thing was Saint Elsewhere in the early 80s. And then he was kind of a character actor for a while because he was like in so many different movies where he was really good.
He's peaked that guy. Oh, he's like he's like one of our most esteemed that guys.
Wait, can I read you? His categories on Wikipedia are so cute. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Early life, acting career, personal life, activism, friendship with other actors has an entire section.
Oh, that's
William
cute.
Daniels, Norman Lloyd. That's it. Only two people he's friends with. Okay, we have
that's
to move
cute.
On.
That's cute. Okay, that's cute. Okay, he's okay, we stand at Begley Jr.
We stand him.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Janine in DC. Long time, sometimes.
Is Broccoli Rob a who or a them? Like, you see it on a lot of recipes. It always sounds good, but, like, it's impossible to find anywhere. And then when you do find it, it's really expensive, and you don't get that much of it. So is it a them with who tendencies? Anyway, just something I've been thinking about. Crunch, crunch.
Broccoli Rob, who are them?
Broccoli Rob, one, two, one, two, three, them?
Who?
What?
What? Okay. Okay. Do I need to make an argument or something?
I don't. I love Broccoli Rob.
Excuse me. It's not a value judgment. I like Broccoli Rob.
People call it rapini. It's also called rapini.
It has another name. That's one of my arguments. It has another name. It's not broccoli, which is a them.
Broccoli is a who. You're right. Right. It's a who.
It's too close to broccoli to be a them. They shouldn't have called it Broccoli Rob. I get that that's marketing, but like it's confusing because it doesn't look like it really.
To use name dyslexia again, it's like ordering a Mira Sorvino, but then getting Mina Suvari. You know? Your plate of Broccoli Rob comes and you're like, I thought I ordered Mira Sorvino here.
Well, arguably Broccoli Rob is a fancy broccoli. Like if I were to rebrand Broccoli Rob, I would be like, let's just call it fancy broccoli.
It's not the same idea. It's because it's like it's a leafy green.
It's different. It's closer to like spinach than it is to broccoli.
And it's not a bitter green because it's not like a chicory, but it's got a completely different flavor. And also like you think of like a broccoli, it's like a crunchy, like a fibrous thing. And this is just leaves.
Exactly. So why are they calling it Broccoli Rob? It also sounds like just like a guy's name who loves broccoli.
On the Wikipedia. It's the planet's member of the tribe Brassicae. Of the Brassicae, which is the mustard family, like mustard greens. It's in the same subspecies as the turnip. But it's also in the same, it's a cruciferous vegetable, which is
broccoli
all, like,
is too.
So is broccoli, but a lot of things are cruciferous vegetables.
a lot of things.
Call it Broccoli Rob because it says the buds somewhat resemble broccoli, but they do not form a large head. That is true because whenever you buy a thing of Broccoli Rob, you're like, I paid $6 for this bunch of Broccoli Rob. And then whenever you wilt it down, it's like
it
barely
cooks down
two
to
servings.
Like nothing.
Every
fancy
leafy
broccoli.
Green just like
fancy
cooks
broccoli
down.
Fancy broccoli, once again.
It's like whenever you roast broccoli and you put it in the oven, you're like, oh my God, I roasted a whole head. And then it comes out of the oven and it's shrunk. It's like Shrinky Dinks.
Yeah, like Shrinky Dinks, totally.
I was at a dinner once and I spilled an entire plate of Broccoli Rob on my body and everyone acted like they didn't see it happen.
I bet it just like slid down. And also, if I saw somebody who was embarrassed about it, like spill something, I would also like maybe ignore it just like for their sake.
I know, but like,
did you want them to acknowledge it?
It may have like lowered my anxiety because I'm just sitting there, all this Broccoli Rob's on my body and everyone's acting like it didn't happen. And I understand that it's out of politeness, but like, throw me a bone. Like, let's make a joke. Let's cut the tension because it is thick. Also, I still have like oil stains on my pants.
You did it again. So wait, but do you forgive Broccoli Rob for that?
Well, I really like Broccoli Rob. I didn't even get to have any because it all fell on my body.
Okay. We got to end this.
We've been doing this for too long.
It's bad.
We
got to end this. Thank you to Broccoli Rob.
Just call me Broccoli Bob.
Okay, that's good. I like that. It's a good nickname, Broccoli
Everyone,
Bob.
Everyone, we're done. Thank you for listening. Call us at 619-HIT-THEM if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or Broccoli Rob anecdotes of your own. I'd love to hear them. We will be back on Tuesday with another episode. Wash your hands. Stay indoors if you can. Be nice to everyone who can't. And I don't know. Do some vibe checks on your friends because everyone needs them. You know? Everyone needs them. Bye.
Bye.
I want to be famous.
So I'm sure you've already gotten countless calls about this. But just making sure you guys talk about the death of Laura Dern's goldfish. That's it. All right. Me and Grease. Bye.